Will and Hoy are both tremendous preachers. But I must say they're not great song leaders. My brother Ron been sick and out for 2 weeks. And Will led the singing. I preached Sunday on, the boys just don't know, really. I preached Sunday on the evils of liquor, and I waxed hot against it. I said, I hate liquor. If it was up to me, I'd pour every drop in the river.
Amen.
And Will led the congregation in, shall we gather at the river? That hurt pretty bad, Brother Bob. I told the church I read of a pastor that was visiting his community, and he knocked on a farmer's door. Farmer answered the door, and he said, is there a Christian family that lives here? The old farmer said, no. He said, they live two farms down. He said, you don't understand. He said, are you lost? Old farmer said, no, I've lived here 30 years. He said, you don't understand. He said, are you ready for judgment day? He said, when is it? He said, today or tomorrow? He said, when you find out for sure, let me know. He said, my wife will probably want to go both days. Isn't that awful? Good to be in the house of the Lord. You pray for us. I'm telling you. Ron and I have had a dying too. We had a time. But you don't want to hear about my hard life. I'm glad to be here and good to have each of you in a nice crowd. I'm going to do our very best. If you had your Bibles tonight, I ask you to turn to Leviticus chapter 11. And we'll read verse 5 and then we'll find precious love if you'll pray for us. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 5. I'll wait just a moment. Leviticus 11 and verse 5. I believe most of you are there. The Bible said, and the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. If God would help me tonight, I'd like to attempt to preach on the coney. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love. And dear God, for the blessed spirit that we've felt, dear Lord, tonight. Thank you, dear God, for each one that's come, a tremendous crowd of people. And we ask, dear God, you'd bless us. We know, dear Heavenly Father, there's men here tonight that I'd sure rather hear preach than I'm trying to preach myself. But anyway, God, we pray you'd anoint us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Give us liberty, God, I pray, to preach our word. We ask, God, you'd speak to hearts. If there's one here that's lost, that they might be saved. If there's a Christian that needs to pray, dear God, may they come. Have your way, dear God, in the service. Thank you, Lord, again, for Brother Mike and Brother Calran, those that work so hard for this meeting, dear God. And we're thankful, Lord, you've been in it. Bless us now, we pray. As we attempt to preach, give us, God, the unction from the Holy One. We'll thank and praise you and everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Four different places in our Bible, God calls our attention to an unusual little creature called the coney. And that's about the size of a guinea pig. It resembles a small rabbit, but it's not really closely linked to any known animal, according to the Bible dictionaries that I studied from. The Hebrew word translated as coney in our text and then in Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 7 means a species of rock rabbit, probably the hyrax, the coney. The Hebrew word translated as conies is found in Psalm 104:18 and in Proverbs 30:26. And it means to conceal as a valuable, a treasure. Now, amazing enough, the coney is slightly related to the elephants, the sea cows, and the manatees. Now, why has God held up this little creature to us as an example? Why does God refer to His great wisdom in His Word? There are some valuable things that I think we can learn from the coney tonight. Number one, The coney is protected. God has provided a way that even this little creature, thank God, might be protected. Notice that it's weak. Proverbs 30:26 says the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The coney is very weak and vulnerable. Among its enemies are snakes. Now, that was amazing to me. That was the first one on the list, is the snake is the enemy to the coney. Well, isn't that amazing? Well, Revelation 12:9 describes man's worst enemy this way, that old serpent called the devil. Bless God, I hate the devil, and I know he hates me too. But I'm glad, praise God, for Jesus. But the serpent is an enemy to the coney. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The Bible says, the day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God holds up the eagle to us. I love to study it. Some 34 times in the Bible. And God says, be like the eagle. I read that the golden eagle travels thousands of miles in search of the right place to build its home. And Job 39 says that it builds up high on the crag of the rock. Thank God it's a place of safety, security, and strength. And because it builds up so high, very few things can get to it. It has few natural enemies. But they said that eagle protects the nest. Brother, when it has little ones, it'll set at a distance. And they have tremendous eyesight. And they'll, every once in a while, they said a serpent will slither up through the rocks and attack the nest. But bless God, you know what that eagle does? Brother, he spots him when he gets close to the nest. They said that eagle will swoop down like a bullet and with its talons hit that serpent in the back of the head and carry it up almost out of sight and then drop it, bless God, on its rock. It crushes the old serpent on its rock. I said, thank God, let the devil roar. Praise be to God. Let him throw everything he can against us. I'm glad we as God's people don't have to be defeated. Thank God we can soar down, get him by the nape of the neck and soar into the heavens. Praise God. And drop him on Jesus, our rock. And praise God, we can defeat him every time. And so, among its enemies are snakes and buzzards and dogs. It has no means of natural defense. The Bible calls it a feeble creature. We too are a feeble folk. We're like the coney. We are susceptible to many dangers. Listen, we're feeble physically. We're subject to disease, and these bodies that we live in get old and they wear out. Brother, I was talking to these young preachers, and they told me how they go, and I said, there's a time when I could go like that. But that day is past, brother. I need a new body. This one's about wore out. Bless God. I heard old Clyde Perry say he preached one night on a new body. And said a heavy set lady come up to him after the service. And she said, Brother Clyde, would you ask the Lord when he gives me my next body not to give me quite so much? Well, thank God that's the way I feel. But praise God. We're weak. We're weak physically. We're feeble physically. And these bodies are subject to despondency and despair and depression. I'm telling you, brother, and I'm glad God said we finally are subject to death. We're feeble physically. I read a story about a young mother that was dying. Boy, we hate to give our loved ones up. I'm telling you, been a rough year for our church. We gave up some precious people, but this mother was terminally ill, and the doctor came to see her, and he examined her. He said, ma'am, I hate to tell you this. You have just about 2 months to live. And he said, I believe you better prepare your little boy, Tommy, and prepare him for it. She said, I can't talk to him. She said, doctor, would you go talk to him? He said, I'd be glad to. He went out in the backyard, and he sat down and said, Tommy, come here. Put his arm around that little boy. He said, Tommy, I have to give you some sad news. Your mom is going away very soon, and she's going to a place that she'll never come back from. He said, I don't understand, doctor. He said, well, let me put it this way. Your mother's going on a long trip, and it's such a long trip. He said, she won't be coming back. The little fella said, well, when does she have to go? He thought for a moment, And the doctor said, "Well, do you see the leaves on that tree there in the backyard?" He said, "When the leaves are gone, your mother will take her trip and she won't be coming back." They said 2 months passed and the doctor came back to visit that dear lady and she was laying near death. And he asked her about the boy. She said, "Tommy's having a hard time. He's out in the backyard. Would you mind going to talk to him?" The doctor said no. He walked in the backyard and the little fellow wasn't there. He said, Tommy, where are you?" And he said, "I'm up here in this tree." He looked and that little fellow's up in the tree. He said, "Tommy, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm taping these leaves back on these branches." Oh, listen, he hated to give his mother up. Praise God. Brother, we have to give them up. We have to say goodbye to them. Brother, we're feeble physically. Then we're feeble spiritually. We are too weak to save ourselves. Jesus said, thank God, in John 14, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Praise God, he said in John 10, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And go in out and find green pasture." Praise God. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none under the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Praise God, we're feeble physically and we're feeble spiritually. Alexander McLaren told of securing his first job. And he said, "My father walked me to work that first Monday morning. And he said, between our home and the city, there's a deep, dark ravine. And he said, I was afraid to go through it by myself in the daytime, much less at night. But he said, my father walked me to work. And he said, Alex, when you get done Saturday night, you come home. You've never been away from home before. We'll be anxious to see you." The little fellow was ashamed to tell him that he was fearful of that deep, dark ravine. And he said, "Father, couldn't I wait till Sunday morning? I'll be awfully tired Saturday night. Couldn't I just come home Sunday morning?" He said, "No, Alex, you've never been away from home before. Your mom and I will be anxious to see you." So Alexander McLaren said, "I hoped that Saturday wouldn't come. But sure enough, Saturday came. And he packed his dirty clothes and headed towards home. He said, as I approached that dark ravine, I whistled to keep my courage up. But he said, when I entered the darkness of that ravine, my courage failed me and I stopped and started to cry. He said, suddenly I heard footsteps coming up out of that dark ravine. So I started to turn and run. But there's something familiar about the footsteps. He said, up out of the darkness of that ravine came the head and shoulders of the fairest man on the face of the earth. He said, it was my father. And his father said, Alex, I was so anxious to see you, I came to walk with you home. Glory to God forever. He said, shoulder to shoulder, we walked in the darkness of that ravine. And he said, I didn't fear anything on the face of the earth. Praise God for my father had come to walk with me home. I'm glad, folks, praise God, if we have Jesus, thank God, he'll walk with us all the way home. Thank God, he's one that said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Praise God, the coney is weak, but the coney is wise. Proverbs 30:24 says, there be four things that are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. Verse 26 says, the conies are a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the rocks. Brother, it lives on the heights, thank God. Psalm 104:18 says, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the coney. I like this, praise God. The coney is an excellent climber. The soles of their feet are kept moist by oily secretions. Thank God, preachers, get a hold of that. And can be converted through muscular action into powerful suction cups. This enables the coney to walk on the rocks and the high places. Praise God for the oil. Amen. I'm glad Brother Sean talked about the oil. Thank God, I'm glad for the oil of the Holy Spirit tonight. Praise God. Psalm 133. The psalmist said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that flowed down the beard to the skirts of Aaron's garments. Praise God. Even the skirts of his garments. Thank God, the psalmist is talking about that holy anointing oil that's found in Exodus chapter 30. There was five ingredients in it. God said to Moses, this is the way to prepare it. take pure myrrh, and he said, take sweet calamus and sweet cinnamon and cassia and olive oil, and he said, mix it together. Brother God said, man shall not make anything like it. Under a sentence of death, it can only be put on the priests and their sons and the vessels in the house of God. And so it was a precious ointment. Thank God. I like it. It was a genuine anointing. Praise God. It was a real thing, folks. Amen. I don't like this thing that has to be worked up. Thank God. I like when it comes down. Praise God. As it's done these last few nights. Thank God for the oil. And so it was a genuine anointing. I like this too. Praise God. It was a generous anointing. Amen. Brother, it flowed from the top of old Aaron's head down to the skirts of his garments. Praise God forever. And I told the church before I prayed this afternoon in my motel room. I said, God, give me your oil tonight. Thanks be to God. We need the oil, folks. Thank God. Hey, buddy, Moses put that oil on Aaron's head. And I've said before, and I'll say again, thanks be to God, I need the oil on my head that I might have the mind of Christ. Paul said, thanks be to God, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Thank God I need the oil on my head. Then that oil got down over his heart. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, I need the oil on my heart. And Paul said, be ye kind and tender heart one another, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Brother, I don't know about you. This old heart of mine gets hard every once in a while. And thanks be to God. I need thank God for God to soften it up. Brother, I told our church Sunday, I said Thursday night I was privileged and lead a man to the Lord. He was in the service 2 weeks ago, and his wife called me and said, Jerry told me after service he should have came to the altar. And Lord, I thought he was saved. You know, he'd been to church many times. And so I told her, I said, has he received the Lord as his Savior? She said, no. I said, my Lord. And he almost died. His heart stopped. And the doctors brought him back to life. I had the flu and I prayed. I said, God, let that man live till I can go talk to him about the Lord. And praise God. Thursday night, I'm telling you, preachers, you know it's not every week that you lead somebody to the Lord. But I went to see him. Brother, I saw him in the hospital there. And the nurse said, you want to be alone? I said, yes. I'd like to be alone. I said, Jerry, have you ever asked the Lord to come into your heart? He said, no. I said, Jerry, wouldn't you like to ask him to save you tonight? He said, I can wait till Sunday. I said, no. I don't want you to wait till Sunday. I said, I want you to be saved. Listen, brother. Brother, what a dangerous thing. I said, I want you to be saved tonight. I said, would you pray and say what I said? Brother, I led him in the sinner's prayer. And he prayed his sweetest prayer, thank God, and asked the Lord to save him. Praise God forever. Brother, I'm telling you, nothing like leading somebody to the Lord. Praise God. I need the oil on my head that I might have the mind of Christ. I need the oil, thank God, on my heart that I might have the heart that Jesus had. Then the oil got on old Aaron's hands, thank God. It got down on his hands. Praise God. I'm glad, brother. If we're going to do the work that God called us to do, we need the oil on our hands, thank God. Then I like this too. Brother, the oil went down these heels. Praise God. He got on his feet. Thank God. Brother, we'll get the Holy Spirit on our feet. Praise God. We'll walk as Jesus had. We'll have us to walk. Thank God. That little old coney, how does it walk on the heights and walk on the rocks and not fall? Praise God. It has oil on his feet. Thank God. We need the oil tonight, folks. Praise God. I'm glad that God created man for the heights, not for the lowlands of sin and shame. Amen. Jeremiah 49:16 says that thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle. The eagle always chooses the highest spot available, and there it will build its nest. And brother, why? Because it's a place of safety, security, and strength. Praise God. God tells us to be like the eagle and build up high. I read a story of a farmer that was out on his farm one day, and he found a little eaglet whose wing had been terribly damaged. He brought it back home and bandaged the wing and put it in the chicken coop with these chickens. And that eaglet kind of grew up in the chicken pen, the chickens. You know what it began to do? It began to mimic the chickens. They said it walked like a chicken. They said it strutted like a chicken. They said it scratched for worms like a chicken. But you know what makes me sick today? I just sow this in, bless God. It's Christian people that mimic the world. Praise God. God still said we're to come out of money. Thank God that's still in the Bible. And be ye separate, said the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Bless God, the world don't want to hear it. That's all right, no. Amen. God didn't save us folks to scratch for worms like a chicken. Thank God. We're to be an eagle. They said that little eagle scratching with the worms and mimic the chickens. And young man visited the farm and he saw that beautiful eagle in there and his feathers were dusting. He was horrified. He said, "What in the world is that eagle doing in that chicken coop?" The farmer told him how he'd found it and bandaged it back to health. And he said, "Well, why don't you let him leave?" He said, "He wasn't meant to live like that." The farmer said, "I've tried to get him to go, but he won't leave." The young man said, "Would you take me to where you found him?" He said, "I'd be glad to." Got in his old truck, took the eagle, drove out to where he'd found it. The young man got out, had the eagle on his arm, and said, "Go on, boy, you're free." He said, "Go ahead, fly." That eagle never moved. He said the second time, he said, "Go on." The little eagle said, "You're free. You can fly now." And the eagle never moved. They said, "From overhead, there's a cry." And the young man looked up. There's a huge eagle circling in the air. Praise God, it was the mother of that little eagle. And said, that little eagle looked up and saw his mother. He began to flutter his wings. Said he flew off of that young man's arm, made one circle above his head, and flew in the heights to join his mother. Said that young man looked up and pointed, and a smile crossed his face. He said, "There, that's what he's meant to do. He's born to be free, thank God. He's born to fly, praise God." God didn't create us for the lowlands of sin and shame, folks. Praise God, He made us for the heights. Thank God, Jesus said, "Lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust will not corrupt, nor thieves will break through and steal. Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also." Praise God. Paul said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things below." Thank God. I'm glad that God made us and He saved us for the heights. Praise the Lord. The coney is weak. The coney is wise. The coney exists one way. How does it live when trouble comes or danger comes? Praise God, it scurries to the rock. Brother, I'm glad to say tonight when trouble comes in my life, praise God, I run to the rock. Thank God. David said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock." Thank God. That's higher than I, for Thou hast been a shelter to me. Praise God, I run to the rock. I can remember being a boy back in West Virginia, and brother, the chimes playing from that little Methodist church, and we got up and went to the house of God. They'd sing that old song, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." Praise God, I'm glad for the rock tonight. In Exodus 33, Moses is on the mount with God, and Moses said, "God, would you show me your glory?" God said, "Moses, no man can look upon my face and live." But he said, "Thank God there's a place by me." Praise God, I'd like to get there. Amen. He said, "There's a place by me, and there's a cleft in the rock." He said, "I'll hide you in that cleft, and I'll cause my glory to pass by. I'll put my hand over it, and I'll take it away so you can see my hinder parts." Praise God. I'm glad for the times. Thank God that He's hid me in the cleft of the rock. Praise God forever. I'm glad for His goodness. I still like the story of the little boy that was swept away by flood waters. And they said he was swept downstream. And the little fellow swept past a rock and he grabbed hold of that rock and pulled himself up on the rock. He clung all night to the rock, and the next morning they were searching for him. They found the little fellow. They took him home and fed him and put dry clothes on him. Then the reporters gathered around him to question him. Oh, they said, "I bet you were afraid last night. I bet you were fearful." And one fellow said, I bet you were shaking on that rock. The little fellow thought for a moment. He said, yes, sir, I shook. But he said, the rock didn't. Praise God forever. I told folks for the last 17 years, this old Parkinson's has worked on me. I'm glad, thanks be to God. I'm on a solid foundation tonight. Thank God forever. I might shake, praise God. But I'm glad I'm on a rock. Thanks be to God. That'll never shake. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forever. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Praise God. The coney is protected. Number two, the coney's needs are provided. The coney feeds mostly on vegetation, and God provides for the little coney as He does for every living creature. You know, God provides for the birds. I never see a sparrow out eating along the sidewalk or wherever, but I think of what Jesus said. Praise God, He feeds the sparrows. God feeds the little birds. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Behold, the fowls of the air, thank God, they sow not, neither do they reap. And He said, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and thank God all these things shall be added unto you. I'm glad that God provides for the little birds. God provides for the trees. Praise God forever. In Psalm 1:3, God tells us that the Christian shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. And praise God, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thank God. God feeds the birds and God feeds the little trees. What a God we serve tonight. Can you imagine? That little tree gets hungry and praise God, lifts its little face to God and says, Father, I'm hungry. I'm glad we serve a God. Praise God. And reaches down and sprinkles the chemicals in the ground, the nutrients, and says, little tree, come and dine. Praise God forever. And when it gets thirsty, it lifts its little face to God and says, I'm thirsty. We serve a God that's so great that sends the rain. Praise God. And says, little tree, come and drink. Praise God. I've told before my mom, after Dad went to heaven, she'd go with me in many of my revivals. And once in a while she'd say to me, she said, Raj, do you get thirsty during the night? I said, no, Mom. She said, I get thirsty. I wake up thirsty. And she said, we put a glass of water by my bedside. Mom was blind the past few years, but boy, she had, thank God, 20/20 sight when it come to God. Mom said, put me a glass of water. I'd put her a glass of water by the bedside, and she'd wake up in the night and get a drink of water. I said, thank God. I can imagine that little tree waking up during the midnight hour and saying, Father, are you awake? I'm thirsty. Would you give me a drink of water? Praise God forever. Thank God forever. I can hear God answer back, little tree, thank God. I'm the God of Israel. I need the slumber or sleep, praise God. I'll give you water to drink, thank God. And God sprinkles the dewdrops on the ground and said, little tree, come and drink. Praise God. When I'm hungry, He feeds me, thank God. When I'm thirsty, praise God, He's my water. I'm glad, thank God, that He provides for the birds and the coney and the trees, and He provides for me, thank God. God's provided for me down through my life. And you too, I know. Praise. God's always taking good care of me. I love the reading of Elijah. God fed him miraculously 3 different ways. God fed him with ravens in 1 Kings 17. God said, get down to the brook Kereth. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And they brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank water from the brook. But the brook dried up. God said, get down to Zarephath. There's a woman down there, a widow, that'll sustain you. And praise God. Oh, Elijah went down to Zarephath, and the Bible said the meal and the barrel wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Thank God until God sent rain. Then lastly, God sent angels to feed him. Praise God, I'm glad that God will take care of us. I love that story about the mother that sat before a barren table with the little boy. She had nothing to eat. She thought she'd read something from the Bible. She just happened to turn to 1 Kings 17 and she read that little story. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It brought faith to that little boy's heart. He said, Mama, do you mean that God actually fed Elijah with ravens? She said, yes, sweetheart. He fed Elijah with ravens. He said, well, Mama, and we're Christians, don't you? God will feed us too. She said, maybe He will. Well, Mama, he said, if God's going to send ravens, don't you think the least I could do is open the door? Yeah. Glory to God forever. Yeah. She said, all right, sweetheart. He opened the door. A stranger came by and saw the door ajar. He said, is everything all right here? She said, yes. He said, it's winter time, the door's open. Oh, she said, we don't have any food. I just read where God fed Elijah with ravens. And my little boy thinks that God is going to send ravens to feed us. And man began to weep, praise God. He walked away. He said, Mike, I'll be God's ravens, thank God. And he filled his wagon full of food and brought it back. And filled her kitchen with food. Praise God, we can be God's ravens. Thank God. Thank God. Glory to God forever. Praise God. The coney is protected. The coney's needs are provided. And the coney is a preacher. Thank God. Like all of God's creation, the coney preaches us of some things. It preaches of our sinfulness. Our text tells us that the coney was unclean. That meant it could not be eaten as food or offered as a sacrifice. It was unacceptable to God. Isaiah 64:6 tells us they were all as an unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Praise God tonight. And them boys sang about the blood. I tell you, I thank God for the blood. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the blood. Thank be to God forever. In Exodus 12:13, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Praise God. Leviticus 17:11 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it upon the altar as an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Praise God. Psalm 51:7. David said, purge me and hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise God. Acts 20:28. I believe His blood was royal blood. Thank God. I believe it was God's blood that flowed through His veins. Praise God. For Acts 20:28 said, feed the church of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, which He, that is God, has purchased with His own blood. Praise God. It was God's blood that flowed through His veins. I believe that. Praise God. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Praise God. Hebrews 10:28-29 says, He that despised Moses' law, died under the mouth of two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment shall be thought for those that have trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and done despite to the Spirit of grace. Praise God for the blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19 said, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Thank God as a lamb without spot or blemish. Praise God. 1 John 1:7. John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. Revelation 1:5-6 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. I like this too. And made us to be kings and priests. Praise God. Revelation 12:11 said, they overcame Him through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. Take that, devil. Thanks be to God. I'm glad for the blood. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord. It preaches of our sinfulness. It preaches of our shelter. When trouble comes, the little coney runs and hides in the rock. Praise God. When I need shelter, I too run to Jesus, the rock. It preaches about our salvation. How does the cone exist? How is its life spared and saved? Just one way. In the rock it finds shelter. In the rock, brother, it finds security. In the rock it finds its salvation. Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken to a wise man that built his house on the rock. And the storm came and the winds blew upon him. But it stood for, thank God, it was on the rock." I'm glad, praise God, for the rock. You know, a couple in our church, they told me, they said, "You know, we talked to our druggist. We asked him if he's a Christian. And he said he used to be, but he's a Buddhist now."
Yeah.
I said, "Bless God, I don't believe no such thing. Hey, I don't care. I don't think anybody know Jesus, the Lamb of God. Praise God. I don't believe they'd trade him for any pot gutting Buddha. Bless God. Amen." I said, "Thank God. My Savior is better than Buddha. Thank God. He's mightier. Praise God. Muhammad. He's more righteous than Reverend Moon. Thanks be to God. I'm glad for Jesus. Praise God." And I read this. They said an eagle, when it's morning, it chooses a rock. And they said, "It'll never change rocks, brother, for the rest of its life. That's his rock." I said, "Thanks be to God. I chose my rock when I was a little 10-year-old boy. And praise God, I'm not interested in changing rocks tonight." Thank God for heaven. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It preaches of our sinfulness, of our shelter, and of our salvation. I'll close with this little story. Gypsy Smith, the great preacher, preached one night, and the next day received a telegram. It said, "Mr. Smith, I heard you preach last night, and I've come under deep conviction." He said, "But I've done such awful things. Do you think God could save someone like me?" Gypsy Smith said, "It was snowing." And he said, "I looked out in the window, and I thought I saw one little snowflake fall. And that little snowflake spoke and said to the mighty mountain, 'Mighty mountain, I'm a little snowflake. I'm so tired. I'm looking for a place to rest. Can you hold me up?'" And the Gypsy Smith said, "I heard the mountain answer back. It said, 'Little snowflake,' he said, 'I'm a mighty mountain. I have my roots in eternity.' He said, 'Rest on me. I'll bear you up.' He said, 'I wrote down my little parable and sent it to that man.' He said, 'The next day I received another telegram that said, 'Mr. Smith, I'm resting on the mountain.' And said, 'Thank God the mountain holds. Praise the Lord forever.'" You say tonight, can God save me? Let me ask you something. Can a mountain hold a snowflake? Praise God. Can the ocean stand another drop of water? Why, certainly it can. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will still cleanse you from all sin. Praise God from the little coney. Let's bow our heads as we come in a verse of invitation.